Welcome to BBSA.
Me too.
You can call me.
Okay, the front row, let's cut it. Thank you.
Just mean my name.
It's the old people that are always the problem. I'm old too, so I can say that. Okay, my name is Mary Johnston. Welcome to BBSA Boston. I am really excited about the speakers tonight. We have four wonderful young adults who are going to tell their stories of resilience. Meech is going to introduce them to you. And I'd just like to say, if you have questions, please hold them to the end, and I'll bring the traveling mic around so you can ask questions. Nothing personal, please. Just anything about resilience or recovery will be great. Okay, turn it over to Meech.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Meech, young adult facilitator, your room assignment person. Our first speaker tonight is John. I've known John quite a few years now. He's been coming here. I've been trying to get him to be a facilitator for a really long time. But he's going to tell his story. But he's a peer specialist, and he does a great job for the community. And I'm really excited to hear what he has to say.
Thank you, Dean. So, again, my name is John. I've been coming to DBSA for a few years now, and it's been a great support to me. So I'll go into my recovery story. I was pretty fortunate to have a fairly good childhood. I had a really supportive family growing up, and we did a lot of activities and stuff together. I ran into difficulty the summer after my freshman year in college. I started smoking pot habitually, and I eventually started getting these strange thoughts, and I was getting visual hallucinations, and I started staying up all night, and I was getting all these epiphanies and thinking, and things like started to sync up, and it was really strange. And eventually all these delusions got so distressful that I had thoughts of harming myself, and I became really desperate and scared. So I then was hospitalized and put on a lot of medication, and I was discharged from the hospital after about a week and a half, and I decided to return to college full time, and I was really over-medicated and didn't have the right skills and supports in place to help myself succeed. I eventually was hospitalized again only after a few weeks at school, and I had to withdraw from classes, and that was really distressing on me. And after that hospital stay, I moved back in with my parents back in Massachusetts, and I was on so much medication that all the side effects kind of bogged me down, and I couldn't really start my recovery. So eventually my parents and I found a doctor that was a good fit for me, like a psychiatrist, and he asked what I wanted to do and adjusted my meds so I could really make room for improvement. So I started reconnecting with family and friends, and I started taking classes part-time at a college nearby, and I started working part-time as well. So that gave me the confidence to return to college full-time the next fall. I was also binge drinking a lot, and that really numbed the symptoms I had. I really didn't like the delusions I was getting And some of the medication helped, but it definitely, the drinking really helped relieve that. But then, so then when I was in school, I was able to graduate about 3 years later. And then on graduation day, I decided to stop drinking because it had become an issue, and it really was something that got in the way of what I wanted to do. So after I graduated, I got a job full time and moved in with my parents. I was feeling some symptoms, like when I was on the job, I would be in my cubicle doing work, and I would overhear my coworkers having a conversation right near my cubicle, and I felt like they were talking badly about me, and that kind of scared me. So I got a medication adjustment, and then also I started a therapist recommended I go to DBSA. So I started going to DBSA, and just that first peer experience was incredible. I really met a lot of amazing people here, and it really opened my eyes to the mental health world. So I was coming to DBSA every week. I started jogging, and that's a huge part of my recovery. So I was doing that a few days a week, and that really helped me feel good. And I stayed sober, and I eventually lost my job in that I got right out of school. And it wasn't really a good fit anyway, so it actually allowed me more time to do things that I was more interested in. So I started volunteering for NAMI, and that was a really good experience because I got to get more involved in the mental health community and kind of see what it was like to work in the field. So I was doing that at the Eric Lindemann Center in Boston, and one of the days I was volunteering, I met a peer specialist from a mental health agency in Boston, and I got chatting with her, and she said, "Hey, I can give you a recommendation for the job." And at the time, I was really interested in becoming a peer specialist. So I said, "Yeah, definitely." And I got an interview, and I eventually got the job, and I was really psyched. And I've been working there for about just under 4 years now, and in the mental health field, so I get to tell my recovery story to the people I support who have mental health diagnoses, and help them with the everyday challenges that they face. I'm continuing to run and eat as best as I can, and really make sure I have the relationships that I need to foster my recovery, like family and friends. And I'm continuing to come to DBSA because that's a really important part of my recovery. And yeah, I'm really thankful for all the people who've helped make it possible. And I'm really thankful for the job I have, and just being able to live every day. And so, thank you.
Thank you, John. Our next speaker is April, and I have the pleasure of calling her one of my best friends. We actually met here. And to me, her story is, it's a good one to hear, because there are so many different stories out there. And people come from different backgrounds and have different situations. Some people only have one episode. Some people aren't even diagnosed yet. So I think you'll enjoy April's story. And April.
Let me get the podium for you.
I'll
get the podium.
Yes.
It's protected.
You need a barrier.
It's like a sea of people.
Hands off.
Yeah, I can bring it up.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Okay. Don't lean to have that kissable roll.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Odds on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, right.
She's sweet.
Thank you.
Okay. So, to put it simply, college got me a diagnosis, not a degree. I made it to the second semester of sophomore year, and for the most part, I had a really good time. I mean, I was working, going to school, and going out pretty much every night. I was also incorporating a lot of alcohol and drugs and no sleep into the mix, but it quickly became a recipe for disaster. I mean, I thought everything was great at the time. Little did I know, I was pushing myself closer and closer to the edge. Sophomore year, things got pretty bad. By the end, I was making all these connections that made no sense. I had lost like 15 pounds, and I could not stop talking. Those are just a few examples. I ended up being brought to the hospital after the first day of my second semester. Looking back, it may have been inevitable, but the choices I made in college definitely sped up the process. It has now been 4 years and 5 months since I was discharged. Since then, I've done a lot of learning about myself and how to maintain my wellness. I've always done my best to follow my treatment plan in like making all my appointments and complying to medication. But for me, that was the easy part. Balancing out the different aspects of my life has been the tricky part for me. A way I've been trying to look at it has been making sure to try to keep my battery charged as best as possible. In order to do that, I made sure to balance my life, my time that I spend at work, my time that I spend with loved ones, and this time I spend doing things on my own as well. A combination between all of those things is what has helped me to feel my best on most days. I've done a lot to support myself throughout this journey. However, I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for my support system. My family, boyfriend, providers, they've been nothing but the best. Another huge support for me over the past 4 years has been coming to DBSA. I was originally brought here by a friend I had met in the hospital. I never said much from the beginning, but each week I'd still come back. As time went on, I became more and more comfortable. I was able to start opening up, building connections with people I knew actually understood. After attending for a little while, I realized that I wasn't alone in my struggles, which, looking back, I think is a really beautiful thing. I have since then watched so many people realize the same exact thing. This has not only helped me with my recovery, but has fueled a passion that I did not know was there. As I continued to come, I realized that I wanted to help people realize that they weren't alone. I decided that working in the mental health field was something that I could see myself doing long term. In order to do that, I took the peer specialist training. From there, they had set me up with a peer internship. As the internship came to an end, I ended up being hired for a full-time position. Although the position I was hired for was not a peer position, I accepted it in hopes to gain the experience, to move forward into a peer position. I've been working there for a little over a year now, and giving back has been really rewarding. I'm truly honored to be able to talk in front of all of you today. It makes me happy to be able to give back to a place that has been such a big support for me. Although my journey has not been easy, I'm proud to say that I have not let it define me. And at the end, and to end it all off with a quote that I read today, it's okay to be a glow stick sometimes. We need to break before we shine.
Well, that was great. Next we have Sam. You've been coming now quite a few years yourself, Sam. And I didn't get to know you right away, but I'm really happy you've gotten really involved with the organization and helping out. And it's really nice to have young adults now involved with leadership. For a long time, there was none, and then there was me. And now we have tons. Look at our vice president is one. So I'm really impressed with young adults these days. And Sam, thank you for being allowed. You're like me, loud and supportive, in a good way. in a good way. She fights for the people who need to be fought for, and that really impresses me with her. So keep it up, girl.
The mic, you're loud enough.
Thank you.
He is an ass loud, isn't he?
Yeah. I am not a big public speaker, folks, so yeah, let's do this. Okay. So this whole thing began with an email. How do I best explain, in the vaguest of terms, to the 12 clients that I've been working with for about a year that I'll never see him again? As a therapeutic mentor, I work with mostly teen clients with various types of mood disorders. I ask myself, how do I explain to them that there'll be no more trips to Walden Pond, no more trips to farms to pick fresh berries and essence, no more trips together, no more time where they shared their most inner thoughts and secrets together, where we figured out how to accept that their mental illness was not a burden or something to be ashamed of, but rather a badge of courage. Something to be embraced as a symbol of strength and resilience. Next, how do I tell their parents this, who look to me as a sign of stability in the children's hectic lives, not only that I would be stopping services with them, but there wouldn't even be any termination visits, meaning that this email I have is all I have to explain why I'll never see you again, and I never saw them again, and that nearly broke me. The reason I had to quit my job working with these kids, who I saw grew up before my eyes, these teens, because I was suicidal. I could no longer help them because I couldn't help myself. See, a while back, about a decade at this point, I had survived chronic abuse for about 3 years of every kind. Little did I know that it would come back to haunt me, for I had sort of shaken this off as a really bad time in my life, but I made it through and I'm good. I'm very, very strong, compartmentalized there. During that time, I went to college, I graduated, and I majored in political science and Spanish, potential plans to go to law school, but by chance, I had the chance to be working with these teens, these youth and adolescents with these mood disorders. And when I graduated as a waitress, I jumped at the chance because I didn't want to be a waitress anymore. And a steady paycheck goes a long way, and benefits. Plus I've dealt with some anxiety and depression since I was about 16, so I kind of had a feel for it. So while this slightly deviated from my goals of continuing education and law, I felt it was acceptable for now, and I'd figure out how to move towards my real goal or career. After all, when your father sits you down at the age of 6 to write out your short and long-term goals, you become programmed to set up your life as such. He is a retired Navy captain, if you're wondering. Then I started learning about areas of the brain when all of this happened to me. So the amygdala, the area of your brain that recognizes and processes fear, the amygdala had other plans for me. I had reached a point in my life where, for the first time in years, I wasn't working 2 jobs, attending 2 universities, and volunteering, and maybe having some margaritas in between. I began working with these teens 35, 40 hours a week. And needless to say, I had a lot of time on my hands, more than I was used to having. And then furthermore, my hippocampus chimes in, and this area is responsible for memory functions, and says, hey, guess what? All of that crazy stuff that happened to you about 10 years ago, you're ready to start dealing with it. So, yeah, no, I didn't want to do that. But you don't really have a chance. or a choice rather. But that's pretty much what happened is I got flashbacks, I got panic attacks, I was embarrassed, flashbacks, panic attacks, humiliation, flashbacks, panic attacks, depressed, mood swings, intrusive thoughts, mood swings, quit my job, pajamas, not washing pajamas, Ben and Jerry's ice cream, partial hospitalizations, inpatient, suicide attempts, inpatient, outpatient, inpatient, coffee rolls, outpatient, inpatient, suicide hotline, outpatient, Good Samaritans, text messages, McLean, DBSA, exercise, DBSA, friends, exercise, McLean, Allie McBeal, Netflix, walks, and DBSA. That was my life for about 4 or 5 years. 5 inpatient hospitalizations, I don't even know how many outpatients. I went on Social Security disability, still on it, and it was a whirlwind. I'm sorry if I'm terrifying any parents right now, it gets better. I started attending DBSA in December of 2013. It was really scary at first, but then I realized I wasn't alone in feeling alone. I saw peers, and I saw parents, I saw partners, and I saw a sea of people who were trying to make sense of something that frankly didn't make sense at all. And I saw fear and joy, and I was confused. And I saw my parents confused, which is, in some strange way, comforted me. My dad began attending friends and family, and I ultimately found a home in young adults. I began exercising consistently. I attended a boxing class, which is pretty empowering, to say the least, and running a lot, which was amazing. And as a side note, I do want to say that I realize there are probably many people here today that don't know that their friends are, that have friends and family that they don't know you're here. And that's okay. Because if you look around the room, you're not alone. Although I do encourage people to share if they can. So now, as much as I'd like to really transition to a really uplifting ending to this and say, yes, you can beat this and it's not forever, I think that I'd be lying. This is a disease for me forever. At times, accepting that is easy, and at other times it's not. I've experienced passive SI for about a month now, but I'm still here. And I go to therapy, I see a psychiatrist, I take medication. I exercise and I eat right in between the coffee rolls. but I go to work and I see friends and I come here. I have plans to go camping this weekend. Nature is amazing. but I know this little episode will lift at some point and I will feel humbled by how powerful depression can be and how much it can trick your brain into believing the worst. But at the end of the day, without these struggles, I wouldn't be human. And then it also makes me wonder, what if none of us were ever to face adversity of any kind? Would we be able to create these meaningful relationships that we all crave? On this earth, we're social creatures who so desperately want to feel connections with others. And that's what I do here every day, every Wednesday night, rather. I make myself vulnerable. I tell a room full of people that I have passive SI for about a month, but I'm not afraid to be judged by it. And that is I feel very grateful to be able to do that. I'm grateful for what this mental illness brings me at times. I draw really, really cool drawings, and I paint really cool paintings, and I have these enormously meaningful connections with people. So thank you for being part of this community, and I'm glad you're out here tonight, so thanks.
I meant her voice is loud. For
That's what I meant.
But I just wanted to just really quickly say that I don't know if the other groups run this way, but young adults, it's such a good community, and people do feel comfortable saying those type of things. And I think that that's part of what makes DBSA such a great organization, that we can come here and feel comfortable talking about this stuff that you probably wouldn't talk to anyone really else about. So next we have Christian, and Christian's great. He really is. He's now the vice president, which I know my mom's very happy about. She's got a great VP. And I've actually never heard his story, so I'm interested in hearing it myself. And Christian.
Do you mind if I actually stand right over here and walk around? My anxiety. I want to talk to you all, not as a vice president, as a facilitator, as a board member, or anything like that. I want to talk to you all as a peer, someone who has been through the worst, who's been through the great stuff, who has very similar experiences as everyone here. I have been depressed for quite a long time, and I've noticed that when I was a teenager, especially going through an all-boys school, being bullied a lot, especially after 9/11, thinking that I was the person who would attack the buildings. That was the biggest thing. That was one of the biggest things that made me feel even worse, being bullied. And it affected my life drastically after that. So one way to kind of get myself out of that was to play music. I remember my entire family, my siblings, my sister played piano. My other two brothers played drums and a saxophone, and I was the only person who did not have an instrument. So, kind of funny, right? Because I play a lot. So I decided my parents found it very helpful for me to play guitar. So I'm like, cool, we're gonna create a band now, my siblings and I. Well, after a year later, they all quit except for me. So, but I found music as a very important indicator of my mood, how my life has been going. When I play music, I play with the heart. I play with my mind, my soul, and my being. And it makes me feel better. But as I graduated from high school, I went on to college, I became very disinterested with music. And that was alarming for me. I stopped playing guitar for 6 months. I stopped being social with people. And I knew there was something wrong, but I didn't want to accept it. I think we've all been there where we know we have something, and you just don't want to grasp on it. You don't want to know it's there. But I knew there was something going on, especially when I started having thoughts of ending my life. And it was a very tough time for me, going through really bad relationships, bad friendships, really odd college life. I didn't drink or anything like that. I was a community student. I was good. yeah.
Had nips on the train.
but even during that time, I did feel low, very low. And it was to a point when I had a mental breakdown right in the middle of work, right in front of patients when I used to work with patients
here.
And that was very traumatic for me. To be vulnerable in front of everyone. And at that point, I knew I had to do something about it. So I was hospitalized the very first time and diagnosed with depression and anxiety in 2011. At that point, I didn't know what's next. You know, I felt I was by myself. I didn't even know there were support groups out there. I didn't know much about medication. I know I went through a bunch of medication and felt very sick from it. And I didn't want to do it. I didn't know how to get better. And then I remember talking to my therapist about what should I do, you know, what should I do for care, for self-care and stuff. One thing that he mentioned is get back to playing guitar. Another thing is to find an organization of people who have been there. And then I'm like, okay, there's no one out there because I know the stigma. I'm afraid of bullies. I'm just very afraid. But I took a chance. And one Thursday evening, I went to Mass General. And I met Dennis. And I think Dennis is here somewhere.
He is.
Oh, there he is. There's Dennis. And I, yeah, and Dennis is an amazing facilitator. And to me, a mentor in how I became vice president. But I met Dennis and I had, you know, I went to support groups over there and I finally felt I was, you know, I belonged somewhere. I felt like I belonged somewhere. But at the same time, I didn't find, no offense Dennis, I didn't find anyone my age. So, so but there was one person, one young adult, and I forgot her name. She hasn't been coming in years. But someone told me there was another group up here in McLean that happens every Wednesday. And there's a lot of young adults there, and you should probably come by. During that time, I didn't have that many friends. I had a lot of friends who liked to get drunk, who like to do other stuff that I'm not very interested in. And I'm very introverted, and I... Someone just laughed a little bit. Yeah. And I wasn't just, I didn't want to reveal myself that a person with depression and anxiety. So a lot of friendships ended because I was afraid. The bullying, I was afraid to go out there. So I ended up coming here to McLean, and I remember my first young adult group. I remember Beach was there. I think she is louder than Sam, actually.
Wait, what?
She is.
Louder than someone. So I started going. I was very afraid. I was very, very afraid to continue because, I don't know, I just felt I was alone. Then I started talking with folks over there and became really good friends. In fact, I think all my best friends are from DBSA, Boston. And ever since I started building relationships, I started feeling a lot better. I started focusing more. I started feeling just so much better. Another indicator, actually, I forgot to mention is that I used to volunteer a lot. I used to coach baseball. I used to work at a volunteer at a cancer care center for those who are getting some outpatient treatment. I did a lot of volunteering because it made me feel better. But when I got sick, I couldn't do it anymore. And the major, I guess, motto or major saying is that you gotta help yourself before you help others. I didn't believe it at first because I always put others before me until I realized that I had to do that in order to help others. So as the years went on, I continued going to DBSA. I saw a therapist, you know, found the right set of medication, played music, and I got better. And I got to a point that I know that I'm now stable and that I want to fulfill that phrase right there, that motto, that I want to help others. I want to help myself and I'm helping others. And that's when I became a facilitator at DBSA. I just want to be like Dennis, I know, awesome facilitator. I hope I'm not embarrassing you, Dennis. But I became a facilitator. I started working at the welcome table too. And because I want to give back to this organization that helped me so much. Like, look around you. Like, seriously, look around you, everyone. There are people here who have been there, who wants to be here to help you. You're not alone. And now I know that I'm never alone anymore because I have awesome friends. I have people who understand what I'm going through. This is a safe space. This is a very safe space. And I hope you feel that way when you come here to DBSA Boston. And with those thoughts in mind, with being so much better, finding a full-time job, playing music part-time, and now becoming vice president. I know that, you know, that my journey is just getting better and better. I kind of want to say it's not really recovery, but I think that life is a journey. When you travel from, like, let's say take a road trip from, like, Boston to LA, you're going to find some flats, you're going to find some nice giant mountains, and you're going to go down deep valleys. And with this journey, you're going to see all of that. And like what Sam said, you know, I know that it's going to, we're going to not feel great. We're going to feel great some certain times, we're not feeling great. And I accepted that. I believe that as long as I have my support system here at TBSA Boston, my, you know, right set of medications and, you know, my therapist and so forth, that I can get through this. And through all the mountains that I've climbed and all the valleys that I encountered, all the rivers that I crossed, I'm still feeling the same awesome person, I guess. So for those who are newcomers here, this is a great, great place. I have been in your shoes where it's, you don't know what to expect. What's the next step? Like, what is the next step? Well, I can tell you took the right step. You found this great organization who really, really cares about you, who wants to provide a safe space. And I remember a lot of people mentioned this, that this is the only place that they feel like normal. I know there's no such thing as normal, but you feel like you're part of an awesome community. And I want you all to remember that. As a peer, not as a vice president.
A little bit though.
What?
As a vice president, you should insist upon that.
Yes. As vice president.
Mandatory.
Yeah. All right.
But I think that's pretty much it for my story.
When I asked, every single one of them said yes right away. Christian was actually a last-minute fill-in, and he didn't hesitate. You guys just blew me away, so thank you very much. And do you want any questions?
So I can get groups ready? Thank you.